seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Psalm 31 and the 19th verse. Psalm 31 and verse the 19th. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalm 31 and the 19th verse. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. We tried this morning to look a little as help to the characters that are set forth in this beautiful word that were to receive the Lord's goodness which he has laid up for them. Those that fear the Lord's name, those that trust in him. And as we venture forth from this hour, may we know more and more of what it is to truly fear the Lord's holy name, and to put all our trust in him. Because this sweet promise is to be granted as such. I was thinking of this great goodness, and you know, I thought about it in several ways, and we hope has helped this afternoon just to look a little into it. The dear psalmist could look away from the troubles that he was walking through to the great goodness of his God. It wasn't just the goodness of God that he was looking at. It was that great goodness. How great goodness the Lord had given. And we thought immediately of the goodness of the Lord in preserving us as a little flock and from and this chapel from all the onslaughts of the enemies. The goodness, and oh, to see that goodness of the Lord, his wonderful mercies. If you go, say, into Psalm 107, and you see how many times the Lord's dear people were brought very low through afflictions and troubles. And then we find how the Lord wonderfully heard and answered their prayers. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And what do we find him saying on so many occasions? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. They knew what it was to see the goodness of the Lord as he heard and answered their petitions. And you think of that this afternoon. How good the Lord is in answering the prayers of his dear people. And sometimes you'll stand amazed at the goodness of the Lord in spite of all your sin, all our unbelief, our many wanderings from the Lord, and yet how good he was to his ancient people, how good he is to us. His goodness. It's a beautiful theme, isn't it? The goodness of the Lord. I've said before what dear old Mr. Gurney used to say at Ashwell. He used to say, the Lord is good to all men. You see, today with the beautiful sunshine in the earth, the Lord's goodness, in spite of all so many millions in this land and in others that are serving Satan and forgetting the Lord and desecrating his holy day, and yet the Lord is good. And he said, the Lord is good to all men, but he said he's exceedingly good to some, to his dear people. He's all good to them. And you know, those dear disciples and those dear godly women, when Christ was upon the earth, they knew what it was for the Lord Jesus to be all good to them. And away. So he says, how great is thy goodness. He was lifted above all the sorrows, the many things that were weighing him down, the enemies that were besetting him, and he could see the goodness of his God. But what was particularly with me, and I pray to be helped to bring it before you, was how good the Lord is in calling his people by his grace. I thought as we tried to speak this morning, you know, I often look back, the goodness of the Lord, that he hadn't left me to further wander into sin, and to forget the Lord, to depart from the right way, and go our own way. But in his goodness, he called Saul of Tarsus in his goodness by grace, didn't he? He opened the heart of Lydia by his goodness and grace. He stopped the jailer in his wild career by the earthquake. It was the Lord's goodness. And then we think of Timothy, who learned the scriptures from his youth, sat on his mother's knee and his grandmother's to learn the truth. It was the Lord's goodness to him. But there's a far greater thing we want to set before you. The goodness of God the Father sending his beloved Son. Oh, you think how good God the Father was to give his only begotten Son to come into this earth to suffer, to bleed, to die. Oh, you know, just to have a little glimpse of it by faith will melt the hardest of hearts, the Lord's goodness. And then think of the great goodness of his beloved Son in coming. I was thinking of the Lord's Supper today, and we hope to read it later, how willing Jesus was to die. And oh, you look at the goodness. He left the realms of bliss and of heaven to come into this earth to be made sin for his dear people. Oh, you cannot begin to measure the great goodness of the beloved Son of God in condescending to come. The willingness, his goodness brought him from heaven. And he showed goodness all the time he was upon the earth, didn't he? So well could the psalmist say, how great is thy goodness. And then you think of the wonders of salvation. It's all through the Lord's goodness. The wonders of redemption. It's all through the Lord's goodness to poor dying sinners. And then you think too of how the goodness of the Lord was so manifested to poor black vile sinners when the dear Redeemer laid down his precious life and said, it is finished. Salvation's work was done. All accomplished by the dear Redeemer. Oh, you can never begin, and nor can I or any man, to measure the goodness of God. Well, could the psalmist say here, how great is thy goodness? You know, it so humbles us when we're under the blessed Spirit's influence, doesn't it, to view the goodness of the Lord. But then think of the goodness of the Lord in giving his blessed Holy Spirit. You look at the offices, and I haven't time this afternoon, but the offices of the Holy Spirit, and you'll see the goodness of the Lord in giving his blessed Holy Spirit. Let me just name a few. The goodness of the Lord in sending the Holy Spirit to quicken black, vile sinners. Oh, you think how the goodness of the Lord was so manifested when he called Saul of Tarsus by God's grace. And they bring it home to you and to me. Oh, his goodness. It's the Holy Spirit's work to quicken black, vile, dead sinners. And because of his goodness, he will still to the end of time quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. But then, his goodness in conveying the blessings down from heaven. You know, if we're real, we shall have a Holy Ghost religion, and we shall know what it is for the Holy Ghost to convey the blessings of pardon and peace into the souls of the Lord's people. And it's the Holy Spirit's blessed work to take the word and to apply it to your heart and mine. And because of his goodness, he will grant it, you see. Goodness to sinners. But then, oh, how we are need leading by the Holy Spirit of God in providence, in the vital things of God. How the Lord leads his people by his blessed Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit takes of the things of Jesus, doesn't he? And reveals them unto poor sinners. And why does he reveal them? Because of the goodness of God. Oh, his great goodness. But then, the goodness of the Lord to us in affliction's pathway. I often quote that word, and it's so often with me. He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. And you know, sometimes with small afflictions upon us, sometimes with great afflictions, you see, it's the Lord speaking, his hand upon us. And one so often feels there's a reason why it has come. But look at the Lord's goodness in healing his dear people in their afflictions. There's so many sweet records, isn't there, throughout Holy Writ, of the Lord healing his people. We think of that beautiful word. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then you think of the characters in the New Testament while Christ walked this earth, that he manifested his goodness to them in healing them. But look at it in our souls. We cannot heal the festering sores of sin, can we? But the Lord can in a moment. And because of his goodness to his dear people, he's pleased to heal those festering sores of sin. And what would be the sweet healing balm? It would be the precious blood of Jesus. In dear Mr. Gadsby's day, there were many that he had to visit that were ever so afflicted. And the same thing applied with Mr. A.B. Taylor that followed him at Manchester. And I remember reading Mr. A.B. Taylor went to visit a dear lady that was in hospital in deep affliction. And she was in a very low place. And she said, "Mr. Taylor, is there a blessed balm in Gilead still for poor souls such as we and such as me?" And the dear man, he said to her, "Yes, my dear, the same blessed balm is in Gilead today, and the same blessed balm can heal you." And what she was so concerned about was not just the affliction of her body, but it was the affliction because of sin in her soul. And you know, it wasn't long before the Lord came. And he so healed all the affliction she had in her soul from those sins that troubled her by the precious blood of Jesus being applied. Oh, there's that blessed balm of healing, you see, in the dear Redeemer. And as he healed the blind, as he healed the sick, as he raised those from the brink of death into life, so he can do it today. And I thought when we stood by the bedside of yesterday, of our dear little granddaughter all wired up to every machine almost possible, and I thought, you know, it is only the Lord that can heal. But I thought in it all, you know, the Lord's goodness in giving the physicians and doctors of the earth that skill to know what to do. And you look at that unit of those in the incubators, minute little babes, and those with many sore afflictions. And I thought, the goodness of God, you know, oh, that they might know it, and that we might know it. And I thought when we came away, how great this text was with me, you see. How great is thy goodness. It's the Lord's, you see, and he can give it to sinners, thy goodness. But then I just want to set it before you in another way. How good the Lord is in speaking to his dear people. You know, we read the holy word of God, but how good the Lord is when he speaks to his dear people. You know, those souls that knew the voice of Jesus audibly while he walked the earth never forgot that voice. Dear Uncle Jabez Field at Blackboys used to say, "Friends, it's one of the hardest things in the world to get the Lord to speak. But when he does speak, the child of God never forgets the voice. They know the goodness of the Lord as he speaks. His word is good." Maybe those of you that have got sweet promises this afternoon which the Lord has given you, and how good those promises are, aren't they? And it's not just the wording of them, it's the goodness of the Lord in them. Oh, the goodness of the Lord as he speaks his word into our souls, and how good the Lord is in giving us his holy word. Do you open your Bible and praise the Lord for it from time to time? And you see in it from beginning to end the goodness of God. I think the word goodness, if I remember rightly, is named many, many times in the Word of God. It's particularly in Psalm 107. I think if I remember right, there's 51 times the Holy Spirit records the goodness of God. His goodness to his dear people. But then you may have said, well, why did we read this afternoon that beautiful word in Exodus 33. Well, you think of dear Moses. He was so concerned because of the people he was leading was a stiff-necked and rebellious people, weren't they? And we've no stones to cast at them because that's just how we are by nature. Stiff-necked and rebellious. And if we know our own heart, we shall have to mourn and weep over the stiff-necked condition we're in and the rebellious condition so often we're in. But Moses was so many times in a low place and cast down because of their stiff-neckedness and rebelliousness. But you think of that word that the Lord spoke to him. Well, it's two precious words that are so good to many of the Lord's people, aren't they? In that beautiful chapter. The first was, and may he speak it to each of us. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And what did Moses say in response to the Lord? If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You see, when the Lord speaks such a word, and to Moses, it was a good word. And it flowed from the goodness of his God. Oh, it did. And he needed it, didn't he, that day? And really, not only did he need it that day, it was a wonderful confirmation of what the Lord had told him years before when he first ventured to lead the children of Israel. And what did the Lord say to him then? Certainly, I will be with thee. But there's another precious word in there. Well, that's why we read the chapter. The Lord said to Moses, because Moses said to the Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. And what did the Lord say? I will make my goodness pass before thee. I will make my goodness pass before thee. And oh, may the Lord, as we venture forth from today, see the goodness of the Lord going before us. And I'll tell you what the effect of it would be, child of God. It would just melt you, say, Lord, why me? How is it that I have so favoured to taste thy goodness when others perish in their sin? Whenever I think of the goodness of the Lord, I think I mentioned this morning what David said in Psalm 23. And you know, really, in our lives and in our pathways, there are three things concerning this goodness. The first is this, the longing to have the Lord cause his goodness to pass before us. But then, what we're in at this present time, may we know, like Moses did, the goodness of the Lord with us. Sweetly experiencing. But then, what about the pathway we've come thus far? That's why David said in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy, he could look back, had followed him, hadn't it? So as we venture on today, thinking of this sacred word of the text, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. May we see the goodness of the Lord go before us. May we feel it now. May we look back. Faith will. And see goodness and mercy that has followed us. You know, I was thinking of that last evening, thinking this word. You know, can we not look back in providence and see the goodness of the Lord that has followed us? Can we not look back in our souls and see the goodness of the Lord that has followed us? It follows the children of God. And you see how comprehensive that is. It's before you, with you, following you. And may the Lord sweetly convey that. But there's one further thing I want to look at before we leave it this afternoon. And it's this. I hinted at it this morning. Which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. And it's this, which thou hast laid up. Now this morning I hinted at where this is laid up. And I want to look at it in three ways as help, just briefly. And I can only be brief. The first is this. We said this morning, it's laid in the heart of God. Because of the love of God to his dear people, laid in his heart to give them, is this great goodness. It really means his eternal favour toward their souls. But then, secondly, it's laid up in the heart of God to dispense the blessings to the child of God while they walk through this pilgrimage. And as they walk through this pilgrimage, they won't walk alone. His presence will be with them. That is part of the goodness of God. And it's laid up in heaven to give to them as they walk this journey through. And this, these two words, laid up for them. And oh, may the Lord sweetly assure you and me of this, that wherever we come through in the journey, if we're spared in time, the Lord has laid up for us those eternal blessings that are in Christ Jesus, and they're laid up for the sinner to receive. And they're all found in the heart of God and in his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. But the third part, of course, is laid up in heaven. The Apostle Paul said, didn't he? I think the margin in my Bible at home refers us to it, if I remember rightly. The Lord has laid up in heaven a wondrous store for his dear people. And what does the Apostle say? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath laid up for his dear people. There's this blessed prospect before them. He was like the children of Israel. I think I mentioned it here recently. He set before them the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was laid up for them in store, waiting for the hour when they were to enter that land. And so it is before the Lord's people. What a sweet prospect then, which he hath laid up. Who for? For them that fear him and them that trust in him. Well, I've only feeling so one feels myself out of poverty. Briefly set this before you today. May the Holy Spirit apply the text, if nothing, that I've rambled round. And you see, the benefit is ours. The glory belongs to his blessed name.